Hi everyone, my name is Patrick Akil, and if you're interested in hackathons, the vibe, the culture, as well as how it can help you throughout your career, this episode is for you. Joining me today is Sashrika Kaur. She's a software engineer at Google, as well as a hackathon coach at Major League Hacking. And she recently moved to the UK, to London, and dyed her hair red. New country, new hair. I love it. I'll put all her socials in the description below. Check her out. And with that being said, enjoy the episode. Moving to London, was that kind of your first living abroad experience?
Yeah, it was actually my first living anywhere outside of my home experience. I was born and brought up in Delhi, and I've stayed there my whole life. So this is the first time that I moved out of my city, and it wasn't just to another city; it was just to a whole other country. So it was a different experience.
how different is London from where you grew up and that experience there?
In terms of the city life, I think it's pretty much the same. It's the same fast-paced culture that I see there. There's one something or the other, one activity or the other going around. There is a bit of a culture difference for sure, with India and in the UK. And I think there is people from a lot of diverse backgrounds here that I can find. So it's just great to actually meet new people from who have had different experiences and then just talk to them.
Yeah.
And it's an altogether different experience adulting and living by your own on your own in a new country. So in terms of that, London has been great. It has been there to help me out. My friends have been there to help me out settle in London.
Yeah.
And London has been great because I did find a bunch of people to just travel around with, and I've been traveling to Europe and awesome. UK just to spend some time here. Yeah,
that's really cool. You already had friends there before you moved there?
So I was I'm part of Major League Hacking, but that comes a global community of hackers. And so nice. I knew a bunch of people before I arrived here. My best friend from my childhood friend shifted to London a year ago.
Wow.
A year before me, she pursued her post-graduation studies here, and she's still I think in her final year or something.
Yeah.
And so she was already here, and I could just shift in and then travel her from there. So she was really helpful in that run. And then I knew a bunch of other people through communities and stuff, and so it was super cool to connect with them.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, going to a country and not knowing anyone is such a hurdle. But if you already have kind of friends there and people that you know and familiar with, then it's a smaller step, I feel like. Still huge, but a bit smaller.
True. I'm thankful for those communities that I participated in when I was a student. Being a part of those communities helped me make friends around the world. So it's not if in any country that I go to, I might be able to find one or two people through those communities, which is great.
Talk to me about Major League Hacking and how you got involved there, because I'm curious.
Of course, yeah. So I was a student in my university, and I went to this hackathon where I found this sticker which said MLH, and I had no idea what that was.
Yeah.
It was a hackathon where in hackathons, right? So there are a lot of there's this vibe around where you try to find the most exclusive stickers for your laptop as a student. And so that was the vibe that was going around. Everybody was trying to find the most non-generic sticker, which is very special to them and on their laptop that people can see. And they're like, oh gosh, I do want that sticker for myself. And so I was in a hunt for those stickers at all of these events. And so I arrived for Major League Hacking. What happened is that I got that sticker, and this hacker that gave it to me had multiple of them. So he didn't really bother him that I got that sticker. So what happened was I went home, and I actually wanted to find out what is the sticker that I've got. I have no idea what MLH means. I have no idea what Major League Hacking is.
Yeah.
And so I Googled it, and I found out that this is an organization that empowers hackers. I've already been involved in a bunch of hackathons by then.
Mm.
And so at that point, it was just more about, okay, yeah, I do want to get involved with this because it looks like a cool organization.
Yeah.
And at that point, I approached Joe, who was going to lead the APAC version of MLH.
Okay.
at that point, it was not active in the APAC region in India. And so when I reached out to him, I was like, hey, I do organize a few hackathons. I want to organize one for my community as well. And I would love to get some help from you. I know you were there to support hackathons, student hackathons, etc. And so this would be a great opportunity for me to connect with you folks and everything. And so at that point, they were like in the plans for expansion, but they haven't really like expanded in that region yet. And so the answer was like, yeah, we'll reach out to you when, you know, we'll hear more.
Yeah.
So it died down for a bit, but then I remember they announced that they were expanding to the region and there was this form up on their page for the coaches program. Mm. And I just happened to fill out that form, gave all the interviews and then get selected as the first coach for like one of the first coaches for the APAC region. So there were four of us who joined together and we went to our first event in Singapore and the one in Nepal after that. And then there was the one in Delhi after that, right after that COVID hit. So everything hit a pause, but we had a good run during that period. We went to 3 different hackathons in 3 months, which was an incredible period for me.
Yeah, I think from a personal point of view, just the experience of being able to travel, first of all, is really cool. And then doing what you love through that as well is just an awesome experience.
Absolutely,
What I was wondering is, so we at Xebia have innovation days, and I don't know how much they differ from traditional hackathons. So at innovation days, we take a whole day and we play around with new technologies. And then the output of that could be a product, it could be a concept. And at the end of the day, we present that to the larger group. So we still have that kind of knowledge sharing aspect of it. Is that similar or like comparable to a hackathon, or what is in essence, what makes a hackathon a hackathon?
Of course. So with hackathons, it's actually, there are knowledge sharing sessions, there are workshops, and there are, you know, some sessions where you can pair program and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think it's much more than that. So basically in hackathons, what happens is that you go to a hackathon, you can go solo, you can form a team there, you can just go together with your friends or something.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the event, the goal is to just build something and learn new skills. Every person has their own goal in their mind. It can be learning a new skill that weekend. It can be building a project that they wanted to work on. It can be building their own portfolio that they are procrastinating. So everyone has their own goal in mind with the hackathon. And most of the people have already some set idea of what the hackathon would look like.
Yep.
If not, we're totally welcome beginners. So if you come in and you have no idea what a hackathon is or an event like that is, just come up and then talk to someone and they'll help you figure that out, what it means for you. So basically during the course of this event, whether it's 24 hours, 36 hours or 48 hours, your goal is to actually be very particular about your personal goals, if I put it that way.
Yeah.
So basically, if you're building a project that weekend, let's say, and I want to build a health app that helps out folks, my goal in that 48 hours to make build as close of a perfect health app as I have in my mind.
Yeah.
It won't ever reach the perfect ground. Honestly, it would be far from perfect at the end of those 48 hours, but it would be so fulfilling because I learned something new. And I'm closer to my goal than I was before. And what I did eventually was I had to build in projects for my portfolio. And I had also had to build in projects for some of the hacks that I had to do in my university.
Yeah.
And so basically that meant just going around hackathon after hackathon, building that same project and reiterating and building it over and over again over the course of a few weekends so that I don't have to spend some extra time out of my coursework during the weekdays. And this could be just a weekend thing. And so it keeps me accountable. So as I said, it's different for everyone, but it generally means learning new skills, focusing on having fun, making new friends, networking, developing projects, etc. And it still works for me. Even in today's today when I'm working as a professional, I still love going to hackathons just to meet people, form that network, find mentors, just talk to people in general, and then find see where the current industry trends are going, help out hackers in building projects. And so it's super fun to be there. And so I think hackathon supports you in each stages of your life. It's not just something that you do as a student. It goes way beyond that. And so it just continues from there.
Interesting. Like whenever you talk about that, I feel a burning passion about hackathons. But just to give full transparency, like innovation days are my only experience with something comparable to hackathons. I haven't been to a hackathon outside of my company, but whenever I talk to people about hackathons, they're super enthusiastic. Maybe it's because of the people I talk to. But no one talks bad about hackathons. Like, it's an amazing concept where people come together, they learn things, they build things either together or by themselves. And at the end of the day, yeah, it is fulfillment that happens. I just don't know why it is hackathons. Like, what about that environment makes it so that people love going to that? And the experience is just the experience that they have. Like, I don't know why it's hackathons and not something else, or why they can't find it within their own organization, for example.
Definitely, yeah. I think it comes more to the fact that hackathon culture it's getting popular nowadays, but before, like even in my region, it wasn't as popular. For example, it comes out with different issues. Some are logistics, some are cultural differences, some are just plain old, we don't have the resources to support that environment. Like, for example, at my university, there were logistical issues. You couldn't really have students stay overnight because there would be a professor that needs to stay with you, and the professors were not didn't want to take that extra motion. So they were like, there were different problems that could arise from that particular note, but you can always find a work around that. So there are hack days that you can host. For example, you talked about innovation days. That's similar to a hack day concept. You can have like a 7-hour or 8-hour sprint instead of a 24-hour thing, and it could work just as fine. It's just that notion, that adrenaline rush of organizing and working or like participating in a hackathon that can give you that idea. Okay, yeah, this is how everybody is working on different projects. This is how, I mean, there are two students working on the same thing. You'd never know their working style unless you work with them. And so hackathons give you like a pseudo working environment where you're working with a team, where you're working on a project. And then it gives you an idea on how it would be like if you're working in an organization with a team to actually work on a project and a goal. And so some of the principles that I saw in a hackathon or worked when I worked with a team I found in a hackathon are the same principles that apply to my working policy here in the day. Sometimes when I'm stuck at a bug, I do make a sprint out of it, and just for the hell of it, I'm there for a few hours sitting with my task, and then I try to complete it. I also try and seek help the same way that I did during a hackathon. So all of those skills are something that I developed over time by just going to these hackathons. I have been to I've participated in a few hackathons. I've been to some hackathons. I've mentored at a few hackathons. I think the score has reached over 50 or 55 by now, but I've been so much involved in this community that it just makes sense for me I understand how it's evolved from not being there in the community to a point where it's so common that it's just a culture in all universities. And so, even with, organizations, as you said, it is not that common that they organize hackathons. I think that comes from an additional need on how hackathons would support employees as well as support the company. Big companies like Google, Microsoft, and like other companies as well, they all support the hackathon culture. And the reason they do is that they know when they give employees open creative space just to work on their own ideas.
Yeah.
Some brilliant and amazing ideas would come out of these hackathons. Paytm, if I'm not mistaken, was another project that came out of a hackathon. I might be wrong, so don't quote me on that, but I do have to like Google and confirm my facts here. But I heard that these are different companies that came out of a hackathon project. So there are always success stories there. So with organizations also, they have learned to adapt to the fact that these hackathons are a creative space where employees can think freely. They're not bounded by their own project or the scope of their own industry. Yeah. It's just mostly, I'm going to work on this creative idea because I'm passionate about that and I know about that. So I'm just going to expand to that space and then go from there.
Exactly. I mean, I recognize the trend that you're saying, that companies are more and more supportive of it, right? Either facilitating or sponsoring or organizing themselves internally or even broader to other communities.
Yeah.
So it's a trend I've seen as well. And I like that you say that the skills you've kind of cultivated through participating in hackathons, they translate to the real work environment, right? Figuring out how to deal with bugs or asking for help when you need to. I wouldn't expect that culture to also be there in hackathons. Like it makes sense when you say it, but I feel like everyone goes there kind of with their own goal in mind and therefore are focused on their own goals. But I'm glad to hear that it is an open community that is willing to help each other. Because obviously, when you get stuck, sometimes you just need help or a mirror to bounce off of.
Yeah, and it's so great to see, because it's not just that you... So any problem that you're facing in a hackathon, somebody else has faced a similar problem before. It's not something that you're alone and working on your own issues. It's not like that. You're working on bugs which other people have faked. So if you post a message in the community chat or just reach out to someone and talk to them and or just ask a mentor who's there to support you, they would be willing to help out because they understand that innovation comes from a point where the culture is inclusive, where you feel that you can work on things without being stuck on a problem for too long or getting disheartened along the way. And so it just comes from that.
I can imagine. I was wondering as well, because I am now in a project where I'm, for the first time, I've been involved since the start. And that has never happened to me before. Like I've been a developer for like 5 to 6 years. It's the first time where I'm at the start. We're making all the decisions. We're building stuff from scratch, throwing things away because they don't work, building things again and iterating like that. And I feel like throughout your career, there's not going to be many moments unless you truly seek them out that you're going to build something from scratch, right? You're going to go into an organization. Stuff is already existing and you have to build features on top of that to add value. But truly starting from scratch, I don't know if everyone gets to experience that, which made me think that if you go into a hackathon and you start building a personal project, personal projects are usually where you do start from zero and you go all the way to one. So that might add to the experience as well, where everyone is trying to do something from scratch, get up and running as fast as possible. And that is the environment that you learn then the most as well, which not a lot of people get to experience, I feel like.
That's true. And I think when you are actually working on an environment where you're working on your own personal thing, you have your own personal motivation to build something that basically a problem that and a solution that solves your particular problem of something that you're facing. And so your passion comes from there. You have a motivation to get it complete. You have a motivation to get it done during that weekend, but you also have a motivation to learn. So if you're working, like, let's say I want to learn a new technology. I have never worked with Android apps before. And so this weekend, I do want to make sure that I build an Android app myself. And at the end of the day, if you're building some sort of version of an Android app, you'd call it successful. There are a lot of people who are hyping you up during a hackathon. I mean, during MLH hackathons, there are a lot of people for sure who are hyping you up and who are cheering for you and making sure that you understand that you're here to enjoy, have fun, and understand that the learning process is a process. And so this isn't the end of the world where you can't finish or complete an app during the end of the hackathon. What we want to make sure is that you progress. And so that progress is what you want to associate your learning with, your fun with. And so that's how, hackathons teach me to look at things.
Yeah, interesting. I think it's interesting that you point out that in personal projects, you solve your own problems, like your goals are your own and you are there to solve them. While in an organization, usually you're solving user problems, whether they're internal or external. Correct. And sure, you get fulfillment through that because you're adding value, right, into someone else's life. But there's not many instances where you do that to yourself. I think I've never actually realized that from personal projects, you're solving your own stuff. Or if you're building your own company, but not a lot of people do. I think that's a very interesting tidbit there. When it comes to the duration of a hackathon, our innovation days are 8 hours. We take a full day. And usually sometimes at the end, I'm like, okay, I would love to progress with this, but it's going to be in my personal time. And then I don't have my team because usually we group up in people or in teams because I don't get to work with a lot of colleagues on a day-to-day. So we do try and mix and match in that way. But sometimes it leaves me kind of unfulfilled that one day. Like what is kind of the perfect duration of a hackathon that you've seen? Because there's a lot of variance where people go all out and take a full week or take something in between as well.
So I think with organizations in specific, they generally prefer week-long hackathons. And I understand the reason for that. It's that you're doing your day-to-day work and this is something that you ain't doing after that. Yeah. And so people need more time to actually adapt to that environment. But there are certain points wherein the organization also gives their employees days off. Like there is a 2-day or a 3-day hackathon and you have days off that you don't have to work on your project during that time if you participate in the hackathon and you're solely working on the project. So it also depends on the org goals on how they want to structure it. With student hackathons in particular, I've seen that sprint is how we actually do it. So you don't want to do like long hackathons and where it's going week after week. You want to do something like a 24-hour or a 36-hour hackathon, which is perfect because it's a limited size. It's a sprint. People start working at a certain hour and then they end at a certain hour. We also encourage hackers to just get some sleep and get some rest because it's a long journey and they don't want to tire themselves out. But generally, they don't sleep, and it's like a whole 24-hour sprint for them. So I know for a fact I never slept, so I understand where they're coming from. Yeah. And so 24 hours is generally, I think, a sweet spot where I've seen most hackathons work with that format. Mm. But some hackathons do go up to 36 hours, and they'll give hackers a space to just sleep and rest, relax at that point.
Yeah, because when you said like 48 hours, I was like, is that across multiple days? I hope so. Like five, that could be 5 days, I feel like.
With 48-hour hackathons, it's actually straight up 2 days, but yeah. We definitely encourage hackers to sleep. And so they do sleep at that point. For 24 hours, we encourage them to sleep, but they don't sleep.
Yeah, I mean, you touched upon the skills that you kind of cultivated throughout hackathons, and that translates to your career as well. I'm wondering what participating in hackathons and being more involved in those communities have done for your career in progression as well. Can you share a little bit about that?
Of course, yeah. I think a lot of these opportunities that I have in my career journey, I got them from hackathons. Hmm. So I think the first opportunity that I got from a hackathon was back when I was in Singapore, and I got a chance to interact with a bunch of folks. From there, the network grew, because now if I am looking for some certain opportunities, like whether it's, say, it's going to a new hackathon or maybe talking about something, just finding a platform to talk or share my views upon.
Yeah.
That network actually grows and gives me the opportunities. People reach out to me directly to say that, hey, this is something that we would love for you to share your opinion on. And that is awesome. That is something that I would love to do. I would love to give back to the community that helped me grow. And so the hackathons have helped me stay in touch with that community that way.
Yeah.
The other thing that they have done is actually help me develop my skills and practice my debugging skills year after year. When I go to these hackathons month after month, when I am at a different event, I try to help out hackers. And so my debugging skills get stronger and stronger by the time I'm looking at a code. Now, I've never worked with certain technologies before, but yeah, I do know how to debug those technologies. The reason being, I work with hackers who are learning that technologies the same way that I am. They're very new to it. I'm very new to it if I haven't worked with it before. And so it just develops that sense of debugging skills that you can translate to your workplace environment. Now, if in Google I'm working on a technology that I am absolutely unfamiliar with, then those skills come into picture, because now I can actually figure out on my own, okay, this is how I can progress. This is how I can, like, this is where I need help and more context to solve that bug. And so all of those come into picture. So yeah, I would say that there are different opportunities that came in after I started participating in hackathons, whether it was speaking opportunities, whether it was conferences, or whether it was just plain old simple network where you can meet people and then talk to them more like-minded who have the same vision as you, and then connect with them over, you know, a coffee or a lunch perhaps, and then take the conversation from there. I found so many mentors from just being at a hackathon. So with mentors and with sponsors, the thing is that I'm a huge advocate for finding a mentor in your early stages of your career. Yeah. The reason being that they would not just give you advice, they would also support your career in ways that, okay, they would give you personalized advice, they would give you personalized feedback on how to improve, and they would also make sure that you have the right tools to succeed in your career. And so all of these hackathons were a great way for me to connect to those folks who were like-minded, who were in the same industry as I was, and who had similar ideas as I had. And so it just became easier from there, because I could connect to them on a personal level, and then I could just seek them out if I am stuck somewhere, or if I'm facing a huge problem perhaps. And so I think hackathons give you a lot of opportunity to do that for yourself,
yeah,
to build your own personal skills, to find your own tribe, if I may like put it that way, and to just, you know, develop your skills in a way that it supports your career for the long run rather than the short haul itself.
Yeah, I can imagine. I think it's interesting you point out that the more you help people, the more you read code. So you also get better at reading code, basically, which also involves debugging that same code, even though you might not be familiar in actually writing that code. Still, reading is a separate skill, I feel like, which obviously is adjacent.
Yeah, yeah. And I think this is something that a lot of hackers in the community do. If you are at a hackathon, it's So there might be like a competitive spirit between teams that who want to win at the end of the hackathon. Yeah. But there are a lot of team members and experienced hackers who know that that particular competitiveness doesn't come from the fact that they want to win a hackathon. What they want to focus on is just honing their own skills. And the way that they do that is working on their own project and by, on the side, helping out another team with their project if they can. And so that just helps them develop their skills. And it's a win for everyone at the end of the hackathon, because the experienced hacker got to just make sure that he's in touch with some of those skills that he hasn't touched previously. He has worked on project, his own project as well. And so at the end of the hackathon, it's just a helpful community that has actually worked its way to the end by helping each other out and working on their own skills that they want to do in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, I like that competitiveness in a work environment is usually not like a sense I feel from others. Like, we're usually in this together to make it happen. And we're not competing with anyone else, not even amongst each other. It's just there's enough for everyone to go around, basically.
Yes.
And in a hackathon environment, I do feel like the environment, obviously, if there's like a prize pool, that's where competitiveness gets out. But then still, you're competing to create the most value, I feel like, in the shortest amount of time, to do the coolest, innovative thing versus another team in that way. So that's then, I think that might be one of the few competitive aspects that you can have in developing software.
Of course, yes. Yeah. With developing software, it is always common that you understand that there is a collaborative culture in place. Yeah. Even in your workplace, there would be a collaborative culture. And so hackathons, even though there are teams involved, they teach you how to actually collaborate on projects together, whether it's syncing up on projects through GitHub, very basic. You're working on a virtual environment. Not everybody is in the same space, so you need to come up with ideas on how to sync on the project, or whether it is just helping out another teammate, another hacker who's sitting up beside you but is in a different team but is stuck on a problem. So you don't want that. And so what you do is generally make sure that you help them out, but at the same time, you are there for your team, developing all sorts of methods that can help you sync and work on the project together. And so it just helps you develop a bunch of skills, a bunch of interpersonal skills as well. For example, it builds up, you know, how to work collaboratively, how to build, you know, a team structure, how to pick up the right tools so that your team is set up for success and they don't have to worry about collaboration or syncing up or finding answers when they are working on a project. And so there aren't any blockers for you during that weekend because you are there for a short period of time. And so you want to make sure that you make most of your time.
Yeah. I mean, in a fast-paced environment, whether it's an organization or a hackathon with people that are really passionate and enthusiastic, I can imagine that for some people that can also feel daunting, where they already have their own insecurities. Like, they feel like they might not belong or they're not good enough. Like, do hackathons pay specific attention to those people as well? Because obviously, if you have those feelings and you come into that environment, that might just like multiply whatever you're feeling in that way, which is a sad side effect, I feel like.
Of course, yeah. And I think I am a good example of the person you just described. I myself, during my first hackathon, I was really hesitant to go there and participate just because I was sure that my skills weren't at par, that I couldn't really contribute meaningfully to a team, which would then ensure that they win the hackathon because they were there to do that. And so I was really hesitant. But the friend of mine actually told me that hackathons are much more about just winning or completing a project the way that you scoped it out. It's about learning. It's about networking. It's about just having fun. Come with us over for one weekend. We participate in a hackathon every weekend. And so it won't matter if we lose this one. So just take that pressure off, come with us, and we would just work together on a project. That's as simple as that. And so I did like go to that hackathon. I did eventually build a project. I didn't win, but I tried my level best to actually work on something and create something by the end of the weekend. Yeah. And so I realized it's much more than that. During a hackathon, it's a whole sort of celebration. We went there, we built a project, we started building a project, we worked with different teams who were there because they were building on something similar. And so we just exchanged ideas, worked on the same technology, tried to debug together. During night time, everybody was tired and so they wanted a break. And so somebody pulled out their guitar and they were like jamming to songs and everybody was like there in a community. So it's super fun. Just it's relaxing as well. And at the same time, you're working on skills. So it's just super fun like that. with hackathons in general, I think there is a lot of support that companies who are sponsoring those hackathons provide for beginners. There's great documentation for you to get started with. Companies even send their representatives in. If you are at an MLH hackathon, a coach would be there to support your problems, the things that I do. Basically, they are there to help you out, get started, get settled easy. And if you are facing issues, you can always reach out to a coach at an MLH hackathon. The organizers are there to ensure that they understand that there are a lot of beginners who would be attending the event for the first time, who have no idea what a hackathon is and who have never been to a similar event before. And so it's their responsibility or job to just put together some tools or a kit basically that can help them settle in and get started. And then be there personally to provide personal advice, feedback, and just provide personal help as they go. And so during these events, it is quite common to see that a lot of beginners are there at the event who pair up with either experienced hackers on the day of the event in the team building session, or they're just a group of beginners who want to work together on a project. So they have like an idea in mind, but they don't know the technology the best. And so what you can do is just show up at this event and form a team, whichever team that you want to form. It's not really necessary to have experienced hackers, but it would be definitely beneficial because you could learn from them. And so form a team for yourself, and then you'd be able to see that there are certain resources that are active that weekend. For example, there are certain sponsors that are active who have brought their documentation. There are certain tools that are the organizing team has set up for you so that you can get started and start building something. There are mentors in place who can help you out with a certain piece of technology if you're stuck. There are also judges who come in during the course of the hackathon just to chat up with hackers and see what the vibe is, and if they're stressed, just calm them down a bit. And so there are all sorts of different ways that organizers support hackers. With these events, they would make sure that it's accessible to everyone. And so for beginners, they especially do some things to ensure that. These are some of the examples. Another thing that I've seen organizers do, which is absolutely incredible, is have a best beginner prize. So if you're a beginner at a hackathon, they support a best beginner hack prize. You can participate and opt in for that prize. They'll check your project. And then amongst the beginner hackers, if you have the best project, then you also win a prize. In MLH hackathons, just by participating in a hackathon and demoing your hack, you get it to show off with the personalized iDemo sticker for that particular event, which I feel is absolutely incredible, because as I said, hackathons are a way to collect exclusive stickers. And so that was my way of collecting exclusive stickers as well. a lot of these hacks, I know another coach friend of mine who actually collects these stickers, and they have like a whole wall of iDemo stickers now, which is super incredible to see.
Yeah, wow. I mean, I like that you put emphasis on it's not about what you put out, right? It's not about what you actually do, but it's more so about the byproducts that come throughout exercising whatever you want to do there, right? Whether that's collaborating with people, whether that's sharing knowledge or gaining knowledge on a thing that you didn't know before, and even with the prize pools involved, like those are all added benefits to that whole experience, I feel like. So it's not necessarily about your output, but more so the outcomes that go of participating in such an event and being amongst people that also are there for the same experience. Interesting. In joining hackathons and going to hackathons, like I feel like organizations more and more are going to organize hackathons themselves. What would you say distinguishes like a good hackathon or a great hackathon from ones that are not as great? Like, is there a specific thing that you can point out, like there's lacking guidance or coaches, or what would that be?
Mm-hmm. I think as long as you're thinking from a perspective of hackers first, this is something that we follow in Major League Hacking as well. If you're putting hackers first while making most of your decisions, just to ensure that they are having a good experience at the event, your hackathon is sure to be a success. There are, of course, different aspects while organizing a hackathon, whether it's from a logistical point of view. If it's a student hackathon, then you also have to think about sponsorship, raising funds to actually support that hackathon, getting the right permissions, etc. If it's a corp hackathon, then you want to have to think about different things, whether it's finding the right space, giving the right platform, etc., etc. And so all of those are logistical issues that you can work out with a good team. So it comes down to these two things: making your decisions hackers first, and then forming a good team which can support, which are passionate about hackathons and which do want to contribute meaningfully. I have seen hackathons run. I've actually seen a hackathon being run by like a limited number of people, limited number of resources, and being the best hackathon that I've been to. I've also seen hackathons which have like a huge organizing team and a huge set of resources, but they still couldn't pull off a great hackathon and a good hacker experience altogether, reason being that they were blocked on certain aspects that they didn't think through. So I always come down to this particular quote, which helps me think about hackathons, and it is definitely helpful as a coach as well as an organizer for me, is that anything that you think can go wrong in a hackathon will definitely go wrong. So assume it from before. And so from there, what you want to do is just roll back and think, okay, how can I avoid that situation?
Yeah.
So the better that you can think it through, the better you'd be able to mitigate those situations and would be prepared for it as well. As coaches in Major League Hacking, we are trained to handle that stuff. We focus solely on making sure that if a problem arises at a hackathon, we are there to mitigate it and help resolve those issues. And so that is our job as a coach when we go to these hackathons, just to make sure that there are the entire hackathon is seamless, there's no experience. Hackers, the way that we measure success for a hackathon is that if there is a problem that, like, this is just one way that we measure success, but if there is a problem that arises at a hackathon and the hackers had no idea at the end of the event that there was this problem, then we would say that, yes, we did a good job because we were able to mitigate the issue before it created sort of like a big issue at that point. And so there would always be issues at the hackathon is what you want to understand. There won't be a hackathon which is absolutely perfect, but it's just how well prepared you are that you can mitigate it faster is what the hackathon perspective is all about. And so, yeah, I think that's what I would leave you with. So if you can think of making decisions hackers first, and then you can think of just making sure that you have certain, you know, tools in place to actually mitigate those issues when they arise. There would be new issues that arise often and then, but you should be prepared for most of it, then it would give you, you know, a lot of space to handle those. The other thing that we generally make sure in hackathons is to have, like, think ahead and have buffer time as well. If you are on a tight schedule, just make sure that you have a good buffer as well, because things generally overrun and are not on time. And so in that case, it would just cause issues for you if you are keeping everything on a tight pack schedule, because it wouldn't really work out that way. So yeah, I mean, I think these are the three tips that definitely help a lot of organizers in making their hackathon success, whether it's their first hackathon that they're organizing or it's their 10th. It definitely works for all folks across.
Yeah, I feel like it's more so general organizing events advice, right? Like whether you're organizing a conference or a meetup or specifically a hackathon, then figuring out what can go wrong and accommodating for that and giving yourself leeway and buffer time because things will go wrong. I think that's great advice all around in that way. I've noticed when you talk about, like, in my head, they're software engineers or developers, you call them specifically hackers. Like, is that a term that you use on purpose? Because they're not really hacking someone's computer. I feel like they're creating whatever they want to create.
So you were right. Like, mostly at a hackathon, you would find software engineers and developers, but there are also UX designers, product managers, project managers, just like folks who want to figure out which field they want to go in, so they don't really have a title.
Yeah.
And so for all of those folks, it's very, very sad if I just call them developers, because even though they are developers, but they are working, they would prefer a different term. They would prefer design to be called designers. They would prefer to be called project managers, because that's who they associate with. That's what their role is at the hackathon.
Yeah.
And so at a project, it's essential, like I get this question many, many times that, hey, I'm a UX designer. What can I do at a hackathon? It's for student developers. It's not. You are there as well to hone your skills as a UX designer. Of course, a project would need a UX designer, right?
Yeah.
If you can assist them in making mocks, if you can assist them in making a presentation, giving a good demo with a project manager, you can help them like make a good face in the presentation, in the demo phase. You can make sure that everything stays connected, the team is well synced, and all of that comes into picture. So it's not just building a technical skill at a hackathon. You're also building whatever skill that you want to build during that particular piece of project. And so calling them hackers is just our way to make sure that, A, during at a hackathon, all of you are there to work on your particular goal as well as the team's goal that you have defined for yourself. At the same time, you are there to ensure that at the end of this, you have a good experience. And so hackers is just a generic term that we use to during a hackathon. So yeah, you just use that as a generic term to incorporate everyone under that umbrella, because yeah, then it just wouldn't be fair if we call them developers, student developers.
It makes sense to me. I didn't know that other facets of like a product team are also involved in the skills, obviously, yes, but also in the roles, I feel like. So that's interesting. It makes sense though, because if you're building a product, then those facets that you would find in an organization, you would also find then in a hackathon. Because if not, then yeah, those facets are going to be lacking, which is also going to translate in the end result of whatever you're building. Interesting. Yes.
And you're mimicking like a team, like an organization's team. And so yeah, as close as you can get to that would give you the real world experience. So that's, I think, it's a good way to think about things and work through things.
Yeah. One of my most recent thoughts is an interesting notion on team size, because I feel like I've lately been working in a big team, and a big team has big team problems, which means
yes,
a lot of people are in that team. They want to be involved, have discussions, and those discussions then can sometimes be endless, like if the especially if the meeting's unclear or something like that. And I've also worked in smaller teams where all of a sudden we're aligned way faster, we add value in a faster way, yet the notion of having a big team that solves problems faster is like all around in organizations. Oh, we're not delivering fast enough. Maybe we should throw a bunch of people together and make an even bigger team, so then it goes faster. Like, what have you seen stuff like that with regards to team size in hackathons as well? Like, are there guidelines with regards to size that you have as well?
So generally, there is an average team of four that the hacker that the hackathons have
generic
thumb rule for. The reason being, with two large teams, as you said, it's big organization problems. It's just endless discussions, and then no one would get like a scope defined work done.
Yeah.
Rather, it would be easier if you define the scope. Even with larger teams in an organization, forming sub-teams is a common culture. The reason being that every sub-team is working on a different project, and mostly those teams are for five or six folks. With hackathons, there are, on an average, thumb rule is just to have like four members. You can go solo, you can go up to four. There are some hackathons that allow up to six members in the team as well. But I think that's the bottleneck point. Anything beyond that and you won't be able to provide meaningfully to the code. And so it eventually would turn into like the school assignment project that you worked on, where there are some students who are doing all the work and then there are some students who are not doing any
don't
work.
Do anything.
And then there's just interpersonal issues happening at that point.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, you mentioned a bunch of times your hackathon coach, but I have no clue. I mean, I have an idea of what that means now just with this conversation. I have no clue if I wanted to be one, how to be one. Like, do you go to a course, or like do you help organize hackathon events? Like, how do you become a coach?
Yeah, so I think to become an MLH coach, of course, you have to go through a series of interviews. But in order to get to those interviews, just have some sort of experience with hackathons. If you're an active hacker in the community, if you're already helping out hackers the way that I just described, then it's easier to just apply and be a coach, because that's what we do. We help out hackers, we help out organizers, we help out sponsors. And like anybody who's associated with the hackathon, our job is to make sure that it's a good experience for them.
Yeah.
And so if you're already doing that as an active hacker in the community, it's easier for you to transition to that role, because it's the same thing that we're doing. It's just that we're doing with an organization, and you're doing voluntarily. If you already do it voluntarily, that means that you already have a passion for it. And so it's easier for you for us to just ensure that, okay, yeah, these skills are transferable. You already have a passion for it, and we would love to, interview you for the role, see if you're a good fit, and then onboard you to our journey. And so that's, I think, the way that I put it. In terms of like the logistical point, the interviews, etc., there are three interviews that I took to be a coach. One was with my manager, one was with my manager's manager, and then one was with the CEO of the company.
Yeah.
And so all of those three interviews had different formats, but most of them really resolved around A, my passion for hackathons, B, how I mitigate problems or handle some unknown issues if they come up to me, and see my experiences. What personal experience have led me to this point where I am interviewing for a coach's role?
Yeah, interesting. I like that you can already, like, how do you say that, gain experience in that role, or have the role without having the role, let's say.
Yes.
And then actually get the role in a more formal way. But the formal part doesn't really matter if you love what you're doing anyway.
Exactly,
and the formality of it doesn't really matter at the end of the day.
Of course.
One of the latter things I was thinking is, like, a hackathon for me sounds like a startup culture, right? You're trying to build something from zero to one, get it live as fast as possible. You're probably, because you're in such a small team, you're responsible for a lot of facets, and you have to think about more so the big picture of things, which I feel like translates more to a startup culture. But if I'm looking at your career history, the companies you've been involved in are more so bigger companies. I mean, it's Google now, it's been Microsoft in the past. Like, why is that? Or can you find that same culture within those companies as well?
Yes. So basically, you're right. Any of these hackathon projects that you've seen, you're building something from scratch. And so it's more of a startup culture.
Yeah.
I think working with, in my professional life, I do like to work with big tech because it provides more structure for me. And I feel like there are people who do well or work well when it's a startup culture. There are people who just contribute more meaningfully if they like are thrown into a problem head on, and then they can just figure their way out from there.
Yeah.
For me, I feel like during the initial years of my career, I really wanted to have a structured environment where I am not thrown into problems. I have the space and time to learn those skills, gather that knowledge, and then solve those problems myself. With the startup culture, I think there is build faster, fail faster, and then move on to the next bit and then try something else and try something else.
Yeah.
That, like, that's generally the startup culture in a lot of startups that I have seen. With big tech or with bigger organizations, it's much more different than that. It's much more about doing the right thing rather than building faster and failing faster. We don't want to fail faster. We want to do the right thing from the beginning and then build a product at the end.
Yeah.
But in order to get that startup culture within big tech, it's again the same thing. There are bigger teams in big tech that, you know, have huge projects and like large teams, and then you have like you get lost into the entire bit of it all. But then there are teams within this big tech which have like a smaller sub team as well, as I said before. Smaller sub team, a big project, but a smaller sub team, 6 or 7 people handling that one project. So it eventually comes down to the team culture itself. So in big tech, it's not that all teams have the same culture across org. It's more team dependent on how your particular team functions. For example, my team in Microsoft was like a huge team. And so it worked on commerce, financial services, and internal tools for Microsoft.
Yeah.
And so they had a different working environment and culture as compared to my team right now here in Google, which is the Play Dev monetization team. And our job is to make sure that it is good for the app developers to monetize their apps through our features on console. And so we build those features. And so our job is to make sure that our core product stays compliant, and we are introducing features that are helpful for developers. And so we scope out our problems in a way that we actually work in a fast-paced environment.
Yeah.
Now, it again depends on team to team. There are teams in Google that work on a sprint-to-sprint basis. There are teams in Google that work on an yearly goal basis. There are teams which work on like a quarterly basis. They have quarterly goals and they have check-ins like that. But it all, again, comes down to the team culture. So with hackathons, getting that culture of, you know, working through a sprint over a period of weekend and then working through your goals, it just is a similar way. But then your team culture decides how it's going to look like, whether it's going to be something like a startup or whether it's going to be a lot of bureaucratic decisions on getting the right thing first and then building something later.
Yeah. I mean, then you have kind of the best of both, right? Because there are personal preferences involved in there. You already said like you like your environment to be more stable, probably because you experience the startup culture so much with the hackathons that you're like, okay, maybe my more so day-to-day should be a bit more stable.
Yeah, I don't want fires to like put out fires during my day-to-day work.
Yeah, I can imagine. So I like that big tech offers like the best of both in there as well. I think if it would only offer one side, then it wouldn't be as successful as it would be otherwise.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
One of the last thoughts I had is, how do you balance what you're doing on a day-to-day as well as being involved with this passion that you have for hackathons? Because I feel like a lot of people want to be involved in certain communities, whether they're meetups or conferences or stuff like that, but they feel like it's all going to be extra time or own time or anything like that. How have you find a balance in there?
So I think... it's just like something like, do you like cooking or do you like
yeah
Okay, so let's.
I feel like I don't have enough time for all the hobbies I have. Yeah.
Awesome, love it. So when you say that you like cooking, that means that during the course of weekend, if you find like an interesting recipe, you would love to, you know, take time out of your schedule and then try to just cook that dish and cook that recipe and then try something for yourself. And so it's just like, I think at a hobby at this point, if I have a weekend and I have availability that weekend, I just try and incorporate a hackathon during that weekend. With Major League Hacking, it's easier for me that I don't have to find hackathons myself. They find it for me and I just have to show up and be my best self. But yeah, I just put in like that. So I put in like, I let my manager know that, hey, this is my availability during that weekend. And so my job with Google or my day-to-day job is from Monday to Friday. That's the time that I'm actually making sure that I am giving 100% to my organization. With big tech, again, one thing I love, it's flexible. So it's not like a working hour sort of situation where I have to be up at 9 a.m. and I have to close down at 6 p.m. and I have to get everything done during that period of time. I can start my day very well at an 11 a.m. and then finish off really late at 8 p.m. It all depends upon my project. If my project needs me, I'm there to help it out. If I'm already done with my work, then it's okay. That's completely fine. And during the weekends, it's so the one thing that is very, very common across big tech is that during weekends, you're not supposed to work. You're not really on, you know, it gives you time to relax and unwind and do your own thing. And so I use this time to work at hackathons and support hackathons and make sure that I am there at one event or the other if I have some time. So if I am not traveling that weekend or if I don't have to adult that weekend on something, I go to a hackathon and find my time there. So it's just, I think it comes down to just finding time to just manage stuff for yourself. People find time for hobbies. I do find time for hackathons. It's just like that. And if someone asks me what my hobby is, I honestly have no answer because I spent my time like this. And so it just doesn't leave me much scope to figure out what a hobby is for me. And so it just comes down to that. And I think when we talk about managing time, it just comes down to the fact that you can compartmentalize a bunch of stuff for you, whether it is working on your own skills, because I don't want to overburden myself by just going to hackathons and helping others. I do want to spend some time developing my skills as well. And also at the same time, I do want to like put some time for my, if I want to travel, spend some time with my friends, family. So it's just compartmentalizing. There are 4 weeks in a month and I just compartmentalize each one of them to figure out what to do with each of them.
Would you say your end goal is to be more and more involved in hackathons, or do you like kind of the balance that you have now? Because if you were to ask me with regards to podcasting, I would love to have these conversations more days, every day, all day long. Except it's not really feasible because I have to do everything around it logistics-wise as well as I have my day-to-day job. Like, it's not realistic, but I would like that. So what about you?
As you said, it's not realistic. And so currently the balance I think that I have finally made here, even with shifting to a new country, adapting to a new culture, going to these hackathons in a different country, I could see that there were a lot of differences from my country and in UK, the way that UK hackathons are hosted. And so adapting to all of that really did take time. And so right now I am at a routine and a schedule which works best for me.
Yeah.
And I would think that I can go above and beyond, but it would end up like me killing myself, overburdening myself. Not sustainable. And so if I want to do this for the long haul, I've been doing this for over 3 years now. I think I started in 2019, so it would be like the fourth year in run. And so I do want to do this for a long time. I've already been doing it for so long. And so if I tire myself out weekend after weekend, then it would just won't make any sense for me to continue doing something like that. I do things out of my love and passion for that particular event. And so if I want to continue doing that, I want to make sure that I take care of myself as well. So I do take my weekends off. I do take time off and just exist in my room, not do anything at all. Yeah. So I do all of that stuff. And the reason I do it is just to recharge, refresh, and then be my best self at these hackathons. Because the one thing that I have seen being a coach is that you do have to be your best self at a hackathon. There are other hackers who are dependent on you for help. And so if I put in like, instead of 100, just 99% of my energy, it won't make sense to me, or it won't be fair to the hackers to that I am supporting that weekend. Yeah. I do want to give my best. I do want to give my 100% when I'm performing my duties as a coach. And so when I am at these events, I want to make sure that I'm refreshed, recharged without any trouble whatsoever. I keep, want to keep my troubles out the door and then be there at the event just to make sure that it's fun for me, it's fun for everyone, and it's just a great, huge, successful event as such. So in order to balance all of that out, I think the current situation works perfectly for me. I don't really want to change that. Again, I'm going to India, as I said, this particular in the coming weeks. And so I, what I did was I did not take up any hackathon event during that period of time.
Yeah.
I could have, I would have definitely some weekends where I would be available. I won't have much to do. And so it would be great to go to a hackathon. But this is the time where I want to like carve out time to just spend time with my friends and family in India who I haven't seen in a while. And so compartmentalizing and just trying to have that time separately, having a personal work and a hackathon life balance is absolutely brilliant and essential, I think, for everyone.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Like it's, it makes it more realistic, right? If the thing doesn't give you energy anymore and it's more of a must, then it's not going to be sustainable. You're going to hate it at some point and you're going to drop it. But the only way to do this for as long as you have, like 4 years is awesome, makes it, the only way you can do is to find balance in whatever you're doing, right? Whether it's time to recharge and spend time with friends and family, or finding balance with work and your own time, basically. I think that's the only way to do it, which is really cool. I've really enjoyed this conversation, Sashrika, an insight into the world of hackathons. I thought it was fascinating and I actually learned a lot more than I thought I would. I thought I had it more so figured out how it would work, but there's a lot of facets I didn't think of or have learned throughout this conversation. I think our audience will have as well, or I hope so. Is there anything you still want to share before we leave off with regards to that?
Yeah, I think if you're listening to this podcast and you have not been to hackathon before, or if you are an experienced hacker, either way, I hope that this motivates everyone to just stay involved with the community. Even if you're an experienced hacker, try to give back and come back as an alumni for that particular hacker. A lot of my friends who are working in big tech or startups do come back to these hackathons to actually support their community. And if you are a beginner or a first-time hacker and are considering going to a similar event, please do so. It's super fun. And I hope that this inspires you to go there. Again, if you want more advice or just want to chat up, my LinkedIn is always open. You can always reach out to me, just drop in a message. I would love to support you if it is in any way that I can, with respect to hackathons or in any other way. But yeah, being there for the community is one thing that I would say you should take away from this podcast, if nothing else. But yeah, thank you so much, Patrick. It was so great to chat with you. I feel like whenever I talk about hackathons in such a space, it just ignites that passion again in me. And so it's really great to chat once in a while about this. And so it was so nice. Thank you so much for this discussion.
No problem. Like I love that I can feel the passion and energy. Like with some people, we talk about a certain subject and maybe it's the way they talk about it. But for you, I could feel like a burning passion about it. So I really think that's admirable and I appreciate that. I'm going to round it off here, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. I'm going to put all Sashrika's socials in the description below. Check her out. Let her know you came from our show. And with that being said, thanks again for listening. We'll see you on the next one.